as I've gotten older, it's really baffled me why Advent really was not talked about much in the non-denominational background. Because the older I get, the more important it is to me, and actually the more life-changing it is every year, and what a really special time that it is. And what's so cool about God is, I know Deb, she loves a ceremony, right? She does. She loves some candles and some things happening, and which is really funny since she did not come from a liturgical background. Maybe that's why she loves it so much. She wasn't forced to do it all the time. But I can appreciate it as well. But it's so much more than that. And what I absolutely love about God is how cool it is that we can worship Him and honor Him and remember and meditate on certain times of the year, like Advent is, and we can do those things, but then we can also be crazy and screaming and wild and run up to Him because it's who He is. It doesn't have to be through any one way. So I love the fact that we can blend all of the beautiful ways to worship God here together. But Advent is not just for liturgical churches. It is for Christians. So it's kind of funny that it's not talked about a whole lot. So I wanted to talk about it today. This Advent feels especially different to me personally, because I feel like I'm on the cusp of an Advent in my life, and it is a much welcomed Advent. So first I want to talk about what the definition of Advent is. And if you take the Christian part out of it, Advent is like the oncoming of something kind of awesome, like the advent of the invention of television. You know, or the advent of, you know, it's the beginning of, it's the onset, the oncoming, the expectation. So any large thing that's kind of happened in the world over the years, there's been an advent leading up to it, you know. And I know I'm so lame, but I always go back to Mary Poppins. You know, when the thing shifts, you know, the wind direction things on top of the house shifts. And so it was like the advent of her arrival. And it's that same thing. It's that something in the air. And Christmas it always feels that way. And we never maybe stop to think, what is that something? What is that Christmassy feeling that we get, you know, most years? And what is that different change and feeling? And New Year's is actually my favorite holiday, but it's because you feel that advent of something different, something changing. And that's what Advent is. It is literally the expectant waiting that something for certain is about to change. Something is going to happen. So when we talk about Advent this morning, we're going to talk about expectant waiting. And expectant waiting is just the cool way that I'm going to use the word for hope. It is hope. Expectant waiting. It is the certainty that something is going to happen, and that cusp, that turning of the corner right before it happens. That's Advent. So these weeks leading up to Christmas, you know, every week, you know, it's encouraged to maybe focus on something different each week. And this week actually is hope, which is really cool because that's what I wanted to talk about anyway. So I was like, oh, we're going to talk about Advent. It's the arrival of a notable person, a thing, or event. And in the Christian church, it means the arrival of Jesus. So the first Advent. Do you know that we're waiting on a second? Do you know there's a second Advent? Okay, that was a test. Good. All right, cool. So Advent time, it causes us to stop and relax and focus, meditate, and celebrate on the birth of Christ. During the very first week of Advent, we like to focus on hope. And I use hope a lot kind of willy-nilly, and I didn't realize it so much really until this week, but I use hope a lot. I hope that this happens. I hope I get the house I want. I hope I get this. I hope I get that. But you kind of use it in a way that it's not for certain. Like, it could go either way. I just kind of hope it goes this way. But that's not actually biblical hope. Biblical hope is actually very, very different. So I want to talk about the difference in hope and faith for a minute. And then I want to talk about just the hope of the season and the hope of the Advent and what that means to us. Is that good with you? Okay, cool. Let's pray for a second. Lord, I just thank you so much that you are going to reveal to us an understanding of hope in you and hope of this season and what it meant. Maybe before we leave today, we can just get a glimmer of maybe what it felt like to be just waiting on that Messiah's arrival and the awesomeness that it was when you came. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that any person that's in here today that maybe feels hopeless or suffering, Father, that they leave here with hope, Father, with the understanding that it's not a willy-nilly kind of hope like we use it, but it is a for certain something is in the air, something is going to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so hope, like biblical hope, is something that is a confident expectation. It is expecting, waiting. It's not a maybe something's going to happen. It's a 100% God said it, it's going to happen. That's hope. And I've got some examples. Faith is trusting in and acting on what God has said. Hope is similar in that it trusts in what God has said, but there's a unique difference. And here's an example. So in Matthew 6, God says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You guys remember that verse? Seek ye first the kingdom. All right. So what is the instruction? To make God's kingdom your primary pursuit, and what? He will give you all the desires of your heart. Me personally, I believe that scripture just says you focus on what you can do. You do everything that you can do that you know you should do. Don't worry about the rest. I'm going to take care of all the things that you can't do. And doing those things and acting out and stepping out and doing what you know you're supposed to do, that is faith. That is, you're making those steps, you're making those choices, you're doing those things, you're serving in faith. Like we here, we try to serve our community in faith to know that God is going to do what we cannot do, and he's going to use it. So that is faith. Hope is a little different. The example of hope I have is actually the scripture we're going to talk about today in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And I know most of us know this because we like to break it out at Christmas time. But I love this verse. So for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. See, this is a promise of God that can we do anything to make that happen? No. What can we do to make the one come that says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness just like his ancestor David for all eternity. And the passionate commitment of the Lord will make this happen. So that is a biblical promise that is not anything that we can do. We cannot conjure up the advent of the Lord, right? It is in God's perfect timing and was in God's perfect timing and will yet again be in God's perfect timing. That is an example of biblical hope. That is the difference. When faith, we're acting out, we're stepping out, we're serving, we're believing that I'm going to do this and God is going to do what I cannot do. Hope is something that is so much bigger. It is the promises of God that says, this is the prophetic gift to you, that there is someone coming, there is something bigger, that while you're going through all of this, this was Isaiah telling the Jews of that time, the remnant, the few that still believed, that still held on, and they told him this during a time of desolation, of war, of terrible things happening, of hunger, a really bad time. But wait, God is not done. God is still working. There is going to be someone that is coming, and he is the Messiah, and he's going to be a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And with that was hope, because there was nothing the Israelites could do, right? There was nothing that remnant could do to make that happen. All you can do is hope and trust in God's hope, right? Does that make sense? A little bit of the difference. Pastor Deb looks puzzled, but she may just be contemplating. I'm not sure. Okay, I got you. All right, so I hope that that is somewhat of an explanation to where we're kind of going with this passage today. And, you know, I'm not going to say that in faith there is no hope, because the hope is the part that we can't do, right? So there is always faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, right? And hope is tied into all of that. But just as a difference of understanding, for me to understand hope, I need to understand that it doesn't always rely on me, you know, because sometimes we lose hope in things that are going on, right? I've you know, had some difficult situations this year where it could cause you very easily to lose hope, whereas you've hoped for something for so long, like your whole life, you've hoped for it, it didn't happen. Well, where is that hope? Well, that hope is on shaky ground, right, when it has to do with us human beings that are entirely fallible. But the hope of the Lord says that, oh yes, it's happening. It just may not be the way that you see it happening. Does that make sense? I confidently expect that the Lord will bring about what he says. An expectant waiting. A promise upon which we cannot act, but only hope. So there is great strength and freedom that hope gives to us. And that's actually the message of the Advent this morning, is the freedom of hope and what that actually means. Anytime that I end in a situation to where it doesn't count on me being perfect, then we end up in a pretty great situation, and that is freedom for me. So there is great strength and freedom that hope can give us. To start Advent, I want to see how hope can make us stronger and empower us. And I want to also think about how that it felt for the remnant of the Jews going through all these difficult times, waiting for the anticipation of the Messiah. And they didn't wait 15, 30 business days like we do, you know, for things to arrive, right? Or the 6-month difficult time I've had, or whatever it is. They waited thousands of years. So it was an expectant waiting that was exercised to the extreme, yet they had hope. So hope encourages me in the fact that God is not done working yet. Isaiah prophesies in this passage, although the world around them was coming against them, that there was war, desolation, destruction, hunger, pain, that God had not forgotten them, and there was hope for a better world coming. He said, a son is given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his rule will never end. Don't give up no matter how bad it looks. I'm not done working. That's basically what God is saying. Don't give up no matter how bad it looks. I'm not done working. So hope frees me from me always trying to make things happen. Say this with me. It's not about my power. It's not about my power. Hope is about God's power. There are promises that are not contingent upon my action, but just upon my hope, my confident expectation, my expecting waiting. Romans 8:37 tells us that we are more than conquerors. It says, do you realize that when Paul wrote this, he never said that we are more than conquerors because we are so together, that we have it all together, that we are so strong? He said, through the power of Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors, right? It is not about what we can do, but about what he has done and what he is continuing to do. That is hope. So I am more than a conqueror because of what God does, not because of what I do. It's not about my power. It's about his. We need to let hope free us from always trying to make things happen on our own. There are just some things that we should probably just let God do, right? Some things that we hope in God to do, and if we just keep our focus on what we know we're supposed to do, he is faithful to his word. That is the hope of the Advent. That is what he was telling the remnant of the Jews, saying, don't give up. You do what you can do, but you let me do what I can do. And I am coming, and I'm not coming in a little way. I'm coming as Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what is so absolutely crazy about our Father is, even though he's saying the Messiah is coming and he is all these things, he showed up as a baby in a manger to a teen mom. That's awesome, right? That's incredible. He broke all the stereotypes and broke all the rules and everything they said that you're supposed to be. He came up and said, oh, wait, no. You guys have it all wrong. I'm going to come in to a pregnant teen mom out of wedlock whose husband's going to have to see an angel to believe that she didn't sleep around on him and all these things. And I'm going to not even have space to be born like a normal person. I'm going to be born in a barn surrounded by animals. And then I'm going to have these wise men who probably were not the denomination or race or whatever that everyone else expected to be the first ones to come see the babies, but they're going to be the ones that come and start spreading the word. I'm going to break down every stereotype, every rule, every which way that mankind has said I should do it, and I'm going to do it that way. And that is nothing you can do. That is something only I can do. That is the hope of the Advent. Amen. Now, do you see any similarities? I'm just going to say and put that out there, that he is not done working yet. that he is still yet to come. He is still moving. He is still changing things. He is still breaking down walls. He is still like Karen Lepo riding in on his Harley, going to break every stereotype there is. Because you know why he does that? Because when you do that, every single one is accepted in. No one is left out. That is the hope of the Advent. See, man would like only the select few to be allowed in because that puts you above. That puts you better and say, oh, poor them. Poor them. They didn't make the cut. And then we're going to talk about them over here and enthusiastically tell them how they should do things while we don't change ourselves. Those types of things. But Christ, the hope of the Advent, says, I'm tearing down every wall. I'm breaking down every barrier. I'm breaking down every chain in your life, whatever it is that is holding you back, every single one. That is the hope of the Advent. That is what we cannot do, right? That is what is so much bigger than us. We can do all these little things, and we can do, and they're good. And God somehow puts them together and makes this glorious thing out of all the little offerings that we can bring. And that's amazing. And that is faith. And that's how he shows us how our faith works. But all of this other stuff, that is hope. That is so much bigger. So when I think about the hope of the Advent, I think about all the ways that I thank God that it's not left up to just me. That it is him. Because I am fallible and I am somehow going to mess it up. I'm going to somehow get selfish about it. I'm going to have a bad day and be moody and pouty and it's all about me and, you know, okay, or every day. But it's like, you know, in one way or the other, and somehow I'm going to leave someone else out. But thank God the hope of the Advent says, I love you just the way you are, moody and selfish and, you know, caught up in your own little world. But because I am the hope of the Advent, not only are you welcome in all your moody and selfishness, but so is everybody else. And I will even use you in the very way I created you, as bizarre as that is to everybody, that I will use that somehow to help along this hope of the Advent. Does that make sense? So it's not just about the baby Jesus in the manger, and I can't say baby Jesus without thinking of Steel Magnolias in the Half Price Baptist bookstore and wiping them out. I can't do it. Every time I'm like, I wiped out the Baptist bookstore of mismatched manger scenes, wiped them out of baby Jesus's, and made a wreath. Every time I say baby Jesus, that's what I think of. The hope of the Advent is what I would really pray that we get a glimpse of today, is the bigness of the hope of the Advent. And what a time for such a time as this. We need the hope of the Advent. It's not just for the Jews all those thousands of years ago, right? We need the hope of the Advent today. I need it in my life. And this is such a time of year that I always just feel that change in the air and that shift and that excitement that we're going into a new year and things are going to be different and something is new and something is brewing and God is doing something. And maybe it's just because I'm aware of it more this time of year. He's always doing something, but I don't know. I think there's something special about the hope of the Advent that stirs in our spirit that even our bodies and our minds can't understand, but our spirit quickens and awakens to it. And I believe that 100%. So hope frees me from me having to feel like I have to make everything happen perfect. Hope of the Advent is so much bigger than me. I am free to walk in hope because of the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make it happen. Just like he said in Isaiah, the passionate commitment of the work of Heaven's armies will make it happen. And hope also forces me to evaluate my walk. What happens to my confidence in God when all I can do is wait for God to deliver? We see that play out in the Israelites. You know, it went down to a huge amount of people, and then the Bible refers to the remnant that was left, the remnant that was left after all of the destruction and the wilderness and all of those things. And that's what the hope of the Advent, the hope and waiting, the expecting waiting. Are we really hoping in God, or are we hoping in our circumstances and ourselves? Do we feel like our hope in God wavers based on our situations and what we've gone through? Or is our hope truly in God to know that what he said is happening will happen? So hope understands that if all I can do, and I don't know if you guys have ever been there, surely I'm not the only one, but if all you can do is pray and wait, and that's all you can do, hope says it's enough, and he's going to show up. Amen? That's what the Advent was. That's where they were. They were in that moment of despair, and it took hope. They've been walking in faith a long time, kind of like thousands of years. And they had hope, though. And hope said, if all you can do is pray and wait, hope is enough. There's this horrible thing I read, and I didn't want to share it with you, and I really argued with my spirit about it. And I'm going to share it with you because it makes a really good point. But just know I stand wholeheartedly against it. So there was this research that was done on lab rats. And it was basically to see what hope would do to animals. What would hope do? The lab rats were put into water and they would swim and swim and swim and swim. And within an hour, they were exhausted and they drowned. But then the other set of lab rats would put in the water and they would swim and swim. But every few minutes, someone would come and take them out and then put them back in. And then they'd swim and swim and swim, and they'd take them out and put them back in. And then on the last test, they put them in there, and they left. And they swam for 24 hours because they had the hope that someone was about to come and take them out. Now, while that's horrible, it has a very good point that just a glimmer of hope, even to a lab rat, sustains life. So what do we have as children of God? It's way more than a glimmer of hope. We have the very hope of the Advent living inside of us. He didn't just come and live and dwell and die and now he's gone. He's everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's the hope of the Advent that we have. And he's very much alive, very much in our lives. What a great hope that is. And thank God it does not rest on us. Thank God that it is so much bigger than us. Amen? So as you go through the Advent in your life, whatever that is, I don't know if you're like me and you're on the cusp of an Advent, of a shift, of a change, or if you're just enjoying the Advent of the season, which is amazing, really think about what Advent is and the hope that it brings. Because it was saying in all of this desolation and all of this despair and all of this hurt and all this pain, don't give up because I'm not done yet. And man, he showed up, right? As a baby who grew up to then divide time, to change from where things mattered what we did, that everything was perfect, that we splattered the pig blood just right. Thank God we don't have to do that now. To, I can just be crazy and run up to my Father and be like, help, and that's all I can say. And sure enough, he's there. That's how we came. He came and said, all of this that you think. I spent some time with some very dear friends of mine recently, and you know, they're not believers. They're wonderful, genuine, most loving people, better than a whole lot of Christians I know. But the problem is it's all fairy tale Christianity to them. It doesn't make any sense. And that's okay for now. But I think that when you have experienced literally in your life that being scooped up, that there was no way you could have done it because I'm so not that good or graceful or capable. But you know that you have been scooped up and it just doesn't make any sense. You don't fit any of the molds. And that's part of the problem is they've been so rejected. All of the problem, really. But when you don't fit any of the molds and people think, they're not a Christian. How are they a Christian? They're this, they're that, whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, those molds were not ours to fit. God did not create those molds. Those are man-made molds that honestly would kill me. I cannot do it. But I find so much life in what God has given me, and there's no mold for that because He is the most creative, most awesome, most radical, amazing, extravagant creator that blows my mind around every corner. And if you don't believe that, then I would encourage you to look around you today because y'all are all just as nerdy as I am. Hopefully you're not offended by that. I am excited about this time of Advent, this time of hope, this time of change, and this time of a hope that is so much bigger and so desperately needed right now that we all feel welcome and extravagantly loved.
That was so challenging to me because I like to fix things. Keep doing, that's the faith portion. Keep showing up, keep living your life, keep doing a good job. As God gives you opportunities, take them. But the hope is God's doing something way bigger. The things I can't do. You never know what God is doing. And the Lord is moving and the Lord is doing things we haven't even thought of yet. So will you join me in just doing whatever our part is, whatever that faith piece is. Keep doing it. Keep showing up. And then God's going to do what none of us could possibly even think of. Do the thing. Get lit up for Advent. This is going to be great. God's on the move. We love you. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed.